Please turn in your bulletins and join me in the call to worship. God comes into a world filled with uncertainties and darkness. God embraces the wounded and broken. God is the candle shining in the darkness of our days. God is the one who makes all things new. Praise be to God, now and forevermore.
And so let's praise God with Come Let Us All Unite to Sing. It's number 12 in your blue hymnal. And we're going to stand.
Morning. Before we go any further, most of you probably noticed that we are handing out rocks at the beginning of the service. If anyone's been missed, Gary has a thing of rocks here, and he'll bring one to you. And while Gary's doing that, are there any guests who would like to be introduced today? Well, welcome here. Bill Coleman. Welcome here. If there's no other guests who wish to be introduced, we'll move on to highlighting a few of the announcements. So there's lots of announcements in this week's bulletin. We're getting closer and closer to September, so they're starting to build up. But I'll take time to highlight a few here. First, I want to highlight number 7. Thank you to the 24 people who have already signed up to help with Sunday school. There's still room for more volunteers. Still need teachers, teachers' assistants, and those willing to pray. There's sign-up sheets in the back, or contact Shauna Zacharias or Gary Martins. And then also, number 10, as we are a church family, the final touches for the music room mural in the basement of the education wing invite the participation of all persons who attend NKMC on Sunday, September 13th. Everyone is asked to come and leave their handprint on the mural, either between 10 and 10:30 a.m. or after the service while we have lunch together. Number 11, There will be a brief congregational meeting after the service on September 20th in order to accept changes to the Constitution. Number 12, the choir will be starting to rehearse for Thanksgiving and other special services. The practices are going to be September 20th and 27th and October 4th from 9:45 to 10:45 a.m. All singers welcome. And also number 14, the Pioneer Boys Club is in need of volunteers to keep that program running. So if you have any interest in joining and helping the Boys Club, please contact Phil Frantz-Workington for details on that. And then, just before we move into sharing time, I'd like to take a couple minutes and get everyone to get up and greet their neighbors. So let's take a couple minutes to welcome everyone here. All right, now as we enter sharing time, I'm going to begin with a few from the bulletin. First, number 6, proud great-grandparents Ike Gunther and Anna Funk, and Jake and Rita Cron, wish to announce the birth of their great-granddaughter, Daya... I'm sorry, I did not figure out how to pronounce this beforehand. Lakshmi... Well, you can read it. I will just completely butcher it if I continue, sorry. Was born on Thursday, August 27th, to Ashley and Neil. We thank God for this blessing and ask that he be with the family and give them joy in this time. And then also our condolences go out to Henry and Marlene Jansen, Marianne Rosette, Anne Stein, Tina Schultz, and their family on the passing of Peter Jansen, age 90, on Thursday, August 27th. The funeral will be taking place here at North Kildonan on Thursday, September 3rd at 10:30 a.m. And number 2, Henry Dick is now at Concordia Hospital recovering from a stroke. Please keep Henry and Elfrida and the entire family in your prayers as he begins to recover. And also, please continue to keep Louise and Rudy Lage and their family in your prayers as she progresses with her recovery. And Anna Dick would like to thank everyone for the prayers and well wishes that she's received during her stay in the hospital. Anna is now at home, but please keep her in your prayers as she continues to recover at home. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? Gary has a mic.
Some of you know Bill Podolsky. Bill and Dolores come here periodically. They live actually in our old church building. Bill is struggling with some health issues. He's currently in St. Boniface Hospital. So if you would, St. Boniface. So if you would keep Bill and Dolores in your prayers, please.
All right. If no one else has anything they'd like to share, let's move into the prayer. Lord of creation, create in us a new rhythm of life composed of hours that sustain rather than stress, of days that deliver rather than destroy, of time that tickles rather than tackles. Lord of liberation, by the rhythm of your truth, set us free from the bondage and the baggage that break us, from the pharaohs and the fellows that fail us, from the plans and pursuits that prey upon us. Lord of resurrection, may we be raised into the rhythm of your new life, dead to deceitful calendars, dead to the fleeting friend requests, dead to the empty peace of our accomplishments. To our packed full planners, we bid peace. To our over-caffeinated consciences, we say cease. And to our suffering selves, Lord, grant release. Drowning in a sea of deadlines and death chimes, we rest in you, our lifeline. Be ever restful grace, allow us to enter the Sabbath rest, as your Sabbath rest enters into us. In the name of our Creator, our Liberator, our resurrection and life, we pray. Amen.
I'm going to continue with some prayer time as we sing together. Number 346, 346, Dona Nobis Pacem. And we are just going to sing it through twice all together.
Dona Nobis Pacem.
important prayer in our lives. God grant us peace. I'd like to invite the children to come up, and I need some, a little bit of help today, so yeah, bring your rocks with you. So, how many days till school starts? We can have, your parents all knew exactly how many days. This is great. Yeah, come on up. It's great to see numbers slowly coming up. All right. So I'm going to ask the exact opposite question that I asked last Sunday. Do you remember what I asked last Sunday? When really good things happen, what do? Like when you get a new house, or when you, your parents buy you cool things, or they tell you, oh, guess what? We're going to Disneyland next week. And what? And we decided that what we do is we jump and dance and scream and holler and sing, and we got some cymbals out and some tambourines, and we had a great time. Today I want to ask the other question. What do we do when things happen that aren't fair? You're sad, yeah? Like, let's say if you're playing piano in the recital and you know you played best and somebody else gets it. Or if all your friends are going to Disneyland during spring break and you're not, that's obviously unfair. What do you do? You're sad. Anything else that you do when things aren't? You kick things, yes. Okay, I was wondering about the wide board, baseboards in your house. Yes. You're going in November, but nobody else is. What are the rest of you going to do? Okay. Well, life is full of sad things that happen, you know? Like other people get baby brothers and you don't, and it's not fair. Other people go on holidays and you don't, and it's not fair. And sometimes you get blamed for things you didn't do, or sometimes your parents ask you to do more chores than your sister or your brother, and that's obviously unfair. And so there's a lot of things that happen, and what we do is we get a little bit grumpy and we get cranky and we do like this with our fists. There's a story, it's a really cool story in Genesis about Joseph. You know the Joseph story? So, it goes like this. Joseph got a very special coat. It was not fair because his brothers didn't get one. And so you know what they did about it? They sold him. I wanted to sell my brother once, but they sold him and he was a slave. And so he goes far away. So how do you think he felt about that? He probably was a little ticked, I'm thinking. Maybe he was glad to get away from his brothers, but other than that, he was probably pretty upset. And so, you know, years and years later, he's this famous ruler, and his brothers in their country run out of food, and they come, and he sees them, and he goes, ha, ha, ha. That was a maniacal laugh. Ha, ha, ha. And what do you think he was going to do? What would you do if you were sitting on a throne, and your brothers who had been mean to you and sold you came and said, please, sir, can we have some food? Throw them in the dungeon. Yes, the very worst dungeon.
I would do that.
Yes, I think a lot of us would think about that. And what did Joseph do? He messed with them a little bit and put some in jail a little bit. And then he said, he shut the door and chased everybody else out. And he said, I'm actually your brother. And you, this is a really cool verse. It says, you meant it for bad, but God turned it for good. And you know what Joseph chose to do with that thing that made him so mad? He decided to let it go, to open up his hands, and that stone that you have there, that represents all the things in our life that make us curl up our hand and make us angry and bitter and want to throw our brothers in the dungeon. And so what today we're going to talk about is how God wants us to open our hand, and we want to take the stone and we want to give it to God. This is what I need you to help me with. I need four of you. You want one? You want one? And who else? You'll take one? You want one? Is that okay? Okay. And, yeah, okay. And you want to take Jeremy with you too, because we don't have him alone. So David's going to play a song now. And we want you to go down the aisle and pass the offering plate. Now, just a few words here. This stone represents the things that build up in us, the things that aren't fair, the things that we know we hang on to from the past. Only put it in if your heart's intention is to do that. If you need to hang on to it a little bit longer so you can do it properly, hang on to it. If you you're ready to, as a symbol, say, yeah, I want to give that up. Put it in as an offering to God. Okay, please do. Okay. Yeah, you go down here and you come to this person and then each person. Yeah.
We'll never slumber nor sleep. He who watches over will never slumber nor sleep. He who watches over will never slumber nor sleep. He who watches over you will never slumber nor sleep. Oh, my child, lay your burdens down. Lay them at my feet. He who watches over you slumber nor sleep.
Together before we head down, okay? Dear God, it is really hard to let go of the things that we're angry about because sometimes people really hurt us. Thank you that you love us so much, and thank you that we can ask you to help us to let go of the stones that we hold on to so that we can be free and experience the love and peace you give. Now, thanks so much for helping.
As we take the offering, but also a little bit as a song of assurance. It's number 616, 616, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Today's reading is from the book of Psalms. It is Psalm number 4. Answer me when I call, O Lord, my right. You give me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it in your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than the grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
As I'm sure you're aware, we've been looking at the Psalms over the summer, and I've asked if you would share with me your favorite psalm. So this is Lena's favorite psalm. So thank you very much, Lena, for sharing it with me and with us, and for some of your thoughts. It's been wonderful to connect with people to hear what it is that goes through your mind as you look at these psalms. This psalm has a very interesting backstory. Now, not all scholars agree with it, so if you're a biblical scholar and you want to take me to task later on, I'm good for that. But I'm going to share with you what works for me. The story behind this is a story that starts with King David. Now, like you know, King David was king of Israel. And he had lots of sons. And I think it was his third son. His name was Absalom. Interesting name. So Absalom's just a charmer. And he runs around in the community and he visits with everybody. And he talks to them. And they just love the kid, right? He's the king's son. And he starts slowly saying to people, So what are your concerns? And he says, Well, too bad the king doesn't have time to listen to you. I'll listen to you. And he takes a few years, and you can hear what happens. He builds a base of people who stand with him. And one day, when he thinks he's got a big enough base, he says, All right, time for a coup. And David and a few people, most people stayed with Absalom, run for their lives. So David's out there in the bush with Absalom's army looking for him to kill him. And he sits down and writes this song. It's fascinating. Now, as we read the psalm, we'll see a progression. It begins with David being very restless and unhappy, and it moves to the point, the circumstances don't change, but it moves to the point where David is restful and at peace. It goes like this. There are three people or groups of people that David talks with. The first one is God. He cries out to God, and he says, God, listen to me, God of my righteousness. The NIV says, a righteous God, but the intimation of the text is that God has made David righteous. And what David is saying is, look, God, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I've always come back to you and made them right. And I'm standing here, open to you, ready to clean up my life. I've got nothing to hide. I am righteous because of what you have done. And even though I'm righteous, look what's happened. This is not fair. This is not fair. Then he goes on to say, I'm in big trouble. It's kind of his 911 call out to God. And then he asks for God's mercy. Now this is interesting when you think about it. A day earlier, he was in the castle telling all the soldiers what to do and all his servants what to do. And now he's in the bush begging God for help. I need your help. Mercy is the word that's used. I need your mercy. Then he turns and he talks to the people who have been unfair to him. Now, I hesitate to use the word enemies because the leader was his son. His son that he loved very, very much. In fact, later in the story, we won't get to it today, but the fact that he loved his son got him in trouble. But he loves Absalom. He doesn't want him hurt. He doesn't understand what's going on. If the kid had waited a few years, he could have inherited this, right? Nope. He's taking it over now. But the text also has us understanding that the people, the word used for people, isn't the ordinary people like us. It's the leaders. His captains of his army and the leaders that he has put in charge of things, they have defected and gone with Absalom. And so he talks to the leaders and he says, guys, you know this isn't right. I'm the one that God has put on the throne, not you. And what you've done is you've brought shame and embarrassment to me and to what God is about here. And I don't, you can imagine what that would be like. The day before, he's walking down the street and everybody's bowing, saying, oh, there's King David. And now they say, that guy never had time for us. Now his son will be like a great king. Get out of here, you scoundrel. Always wanted to use that word in a sentence. Get out of here. And so now he was a person of shame and derision. Nobody wanted to talk to him. And he says to the people, you're lying to yourselves. If you think that God is going to let you be in this throne, he's not. He says, be honest and take a look. God has not called you there, not yet. He says, I want you to offer sacrifice. Because you can't offer sacrifice without honesty and humility. And you come with honesty and humility before God's throne, and God's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, mm-mm. And he said, I want you to think about this when you lay on your bed at night. You know what it's like when you've done something wrong and you go to sleep, or you try to go to sleep, and you lay on your bed. And what you said to somebody or what you've done you know is inappropriate, and you just want it to go away, and it just spins in your head. And that's what David is saying to Absalom. Slow down, get quiet, and think about this, and you're going to know. That's verses 2 to 5. In verse 6 to 8, which is really where it hits, he turns back and he talks to God, but he's talking to God with all of the people who have been faithful to him listening. And he says, well, it looks like things are a real mess. Where's our wealth coming from? Where's our prosperity coming from now? Everybody followed David, and they had positions, and they were loyal to him, and now they're out in the bush eating huckleberries and not sure where they're going to get any money from. We're in deep trouble. And you can see David sitting there and pondering for a while. Then all of a sudden he says to them an interesting phrase. It comes from the Aaronic blessing, which we have at the end of every service. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine. What is David doing? He's saying to the people, God still is blessing us. In the midst of this unfairness, in the midst of having lost things, in the midst of this shouldn't have happened, God's blessing is still here. And then in verse 7 he says, where's joy? Where's joy? And you can hear him thinking about this back home. Absalom's having a party. It's festival time. It's harvest time. And so they're bringing in the grain and the new wine, and everybody's singing and dancing. And boy, people are counting their money because the yield's been great. They are happy and they're wealthy. And David says, actually, that's not the source of joy, is it? That's not really what makes us happy. You think Absalom and his buddies are happy? For the moment they are. But guess what he says to his faithful people? We have the joy of the Lord. We talked about that last Sunday when we looked at Psalm 100. We talked about how as followers of Jesus, God puts a new song in us, and it's like an artesian well and it bubbles out. That's the source of joy. And David says to his people, they're singing and dancing, having a party. You can hear the fireworks from here. But we have the joy of God with us. That can't be taken away. And then he says at the end, in peace I will lay down on my bed. In peace. Now, it doesn't mean peace because he's away from the castle and he can't hear all the electronic gadgets going on. And the furnace isn't cutting in and out and bothering his sleep. What he means by peace, it's the Hebrew word shalom. And it means that all is well. all is well with our soul between us and God. All is well between us and others. We are at peace. It's like giving these stones up, right? We give them up and say, I want to be at peace. Fascinating. Nothing has changed. He's still in the bush. He still has people looking to take his life. And he's sitting there saying to the people around him, we are blessed by God. We experience the joy of God. And we have been given the peace of God. Well, I got to thinking about my life. All of us have experienced things that aren't fair. In 1983, we drove from Manitoba to BC, and in Foam Lake, I was stopped by a police for speeding, and I know he had the wrong number. If I could find that guy, it's actually true. We remember things like that, things that have been done wrong. And if you sit and think, and it goes back to childhood. For those of you who aren't children right now, if you are, of course, that's where you live. But it goes back to childhood, and we remember our siblings being treated better than us. Or the teacher who said something inappropriate. Or people who picked on us. And when we get older, there's piles of things that aren't fair in the world. We get overlooked for a promotion. We know we deserve that, and we get overlooked. We make investments with somebody in good faith, and they lose our investments, and they go, oh, I'm really sorry, and off they go with their cut, and off we go with an empty pocket. That's not fair, and nobody's doing anything about it. There are people who say things to us that are incredibly hurtful. You know the kind of people who smile, look you in the face, say something pleasant, and then hit you in the back of the head with the same comment. What just happened there? They're smiling and polite and just nasty. People who talk behind your back, and you know they are, and all sweet as whatever sweet is, when they come face to face with you. And there's the larger thing. When we take a look at our world, we heard all about apartheid a number of years ago when that got straightened out. People went down there in the name of Jesus and created a racist, tiered system, and we look at that now and we say that wasn't fair. Or if we look at our own country, we just went through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report here recently, and there we see people who had their culture stolen from them and a few other odds and ends, and it wasn't fair. And it's hard. And it's really hard. And what do we do about that? I want to be really careful here that I don't say to you it doesn't matter, because it does. Injustice is injustice, whether it's done to us or others. We keep saying that Jesus stood for justice as in a church we wanted to, and we stand up for each other and we say, just a minute here, that's not right, we're going to make this right. It's also important for us. And like David, sometimes we need to come to God when we've been wronged, and we just need to let it out. Sometimes we need a few good friends there to let it out with too. You know, what's going on here? I didn't do anything wrong. God, why are you doing this? Not fair. And like David, sometimes we need to, in verses 2 to 5, sometimes we need to address the injustice. We need to say, well, just a minute here. This is what went on, and that wasn't right. There's something underhanded happening here, and we need to address that. We need to do that too. But at the end of the day, when we're about to, and that you use that metaphorically, when we're about to lay down, we need to take that stone and decide what we're going to do with it. Are we going to hang on to it? We have every right to. We were unjustly treated. Things aren't fair. Are we going to allow the blessing of God, the joy of God, the peace of God flood in? Just give it up and say, I can't do this. And so today I'd just like to leave it right there. and just say, I'd like to challenge you to think about those things in your life that come up when you think about being wronged. Think about giving them back to God and saying, I know I was wronged, but I don't want the bitterness anymore. I don't want to feel that I've been wronged all the time, that I got the short end of the stick. I'm going to give it to you. Flood me with your blessing, with your joy, with your peace. And God will.
Your blue hymnal is number 483, 483. This is a new song, so I will ask Trudy to play it through once, so you get the melody and the harmonies in your head and your heart, and you can read through some of the words as you listen to it as well, and then join in as you're comfortable.
I invite you to stand for the benediction, please. O people of God, dearly, dearly loved by Him, may the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with joy. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace in every area of your life.
And as we go, we will sing number 430, 430, God be with you.